This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you. Yes, I am. It's Wednesday. That means it's a weird and wacky Wednesday right here on Women of Grace Live with Sue Brinkman. She's going to be with us after our first break, and we're going to be diving in to some very important topics today. We always welcome your phone calls about the weird and the wacky. Yes, we do. Let me give you the phone number to use. It's toll-free for you here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I really encourage you to mark that down somehow. However it is that you mark things down these days, mark it down so that you have it at the ready. When a question comes up, boom, you'll be good to go to get the question up on the board for us, up on the air. We'll be able to address it. Speaking of on the board, we do receive your messages via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply go out there and use the chat feature. We will collect them, put them up, for us to see, and we will be able to address them through the course of our time together. So happy to be with you today. By the way, if you're outside of the country, just so you know, there is another way in which you can reach us, and that's through this number. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. That is our out-of-country number, 1-205-271-2985. If you're in North America, again, it's 833-288-EWTN. I always invite you to call in early with your program, with your questions rather, because the program moves at a fast clip. And if we don't get the questions up early, sometimes we can't get to them. And we certainly do want to strive to get to all of the questions that you might have today. So make use of the opportunity to get them going early on so we can be sure to accommodate whatever your need might be with regard to questions about some of the strange things that we see happening in our world today. Want to remind you, too, that you can leave questions for us, and there's a couple of ways to do that. One way is to actually email them. So if you have a question for Wacky Wednesday or for any other question that you might have for me the other days of the week, since we're on Monday through Friday at the same time, you can email. I just simply use womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That is the way that we can receive your questions via email. We can also receive your questions via our listener comment line. Let me give you that caller line. You can use this any time of the day or night, 24/7. It's available to you. And that comment line is country code 1-205-795-5773. So very excited to hear from you all of the time. We've got Matthew Gubensky on the phones today. I think it might be Charles Beery out there doing our social communications with you. If you're at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, my producer is saying, yes, it is Charles Beery. My producer, of course, is Rich Jesse. He's joined there in the control room on the campus of EWTN by Pedro today. We're very, very happy to have this wonderful team in place along with TOC. I like to make certain that I give them some recognition because they're the guys back there that actually get stuff up to the satellite and make it happen everywhere. It is a mystery to me, but I'm so glad it exists. So thanks to all of you in TOC. So now I have Pedro's last name. It's Pedro, and I'm going to take a stab at this. Quiles, I believe, is his last name. If I've mispronounced it, Pedro, please. I got a bingo from my producer, so I got it right. Quiles. Oh, I like it. So I'm very happy Pedro's with us, too. We want to be with you, 833-288-EWTN. And I'll tell you what else. We want to be with you out there at a Malvern Retreat House coming up. I can't even really believe this. It's coming up very, very soon. We are going to be there beginning on June 27th, which is a Thursday. And what we are going to be doing a Thursday and Friday is holding our Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Now, I must tell you, this is a marvelous opportunity for you in ever so many ways. First of all, you note the word enrichment. This will enrich your understanding of the truths of the faith. This will enrich your opportunity opportunity to enter into those truths. These two days will be an absolute inspiration for you. It will be instructional for you. It will be informative for you. The Benedicta Enrichment Seminar also has another benefit, and that is if you are interested in a certification in Catholic women's leadership through the Benedicta Institute, this particular enrichment seminar will count for one of your elective credits. So it's one credit. And, you know, it just comes by way of your registration, whether you determine that you're going to follow this all the way to a certification or whether you decide that, you know, you're really not interested. It doesn't matter. We give you the credit anyway. So it is held for you. And if you decide that you want to move forward, well, then you have that opportunity and you're already one credit ahead. If you were with us last year, you also received a credit. So there, if you were there last year and you come this year, whoop, you're two credits ahead already in the certification should you decide to go the distance. We invite you to find out more about the Benedicta Institute by going out to our website, womenofgrace.com. You will see that it's featured there. You just click on it. It explains the entirety of the program to you. In July, we are going to be having an online immersive course. What does that mean? It means, well, it's online, first of all, so you don't have to travel anywhere. And it's going to take place over 5 weeks. There will be one session a week that will be presented by our teacher, our instructor, who is Professor Donald Wallenfang. He is a PhD in both theology and in philosophy. He's going to be talking with us, teaching us about the essentials of Carmelite spirituality. It's a three-credit equivalency credit course. So there you go. I mean, if you come, you'll, you know, to that and to this, you'll have four credits towards the 24 that you need. Anyway, that's going to be taking place, so I want to make you aware of that. Back to the Benedict Enrichment Seminar, though. Women, Mystics, and the Divine Life Within is the theme. Women, Mystics, and the Divine Life Within. Chris McGregor, who is the founder and presenter of Discerning Hearts, is going to be our presenter for this beautiful Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. We're going to be finding out about what is mysticism. We're going to be finding out about some of the great women mystics and how it was that God manifested himself to them in special ways, really for their benefit, of course, but for our benefit too. Because through their writings and through the beautiful communications that they offer us, we can grow in our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a fascinating topic. And as I said, it's going to be one I think that is going to wallop a big impact in your spiritual life. So come for the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. It starts June 27th, Thursday morning at 9 a.m. It'll go through the early part of that evening. We'll have a repast for you ladies later in the evening. In addition to that, it picks up again at 9 o'clock a.m. on Friday morning. It's going to run until about 3, and then our retreat begins. Our retreat begins that evening with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at 5, dinner at 6, the evening itself begins at 7. We're going to have just a wonderful time. I'll tell you more about that on the other side of the break. But this is a dynamic duo, the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar, coupled with the retreat theme, Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. And I'm going to tell you more about that on the other side of the break. In the meantime, though, it's Wacky Wednesday. Sue's going to be with us. She's going to be coming with us right after this break. We want to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, you hear that music, and that lets you know that it's Wacky Wednesday, and we're happy to be with you today. We certainly are. I'm encouraging you to give us a call with your question or comment. It's important to get it in early because, as I say, this program gallops along, and before you know it, it's over, and we run out of time. So if you have a question, I really want to encourage you to get it in early. This is a good time. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us. When you do call in, Charles, Matthew Gubinski is going to be taking your call today. He'll get it up on the board for us. We'll be able to get it addressed for you. Additionally, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. And Charles Beery will do the retrieving, and he'll put it up on the board, and we'll be able to discuss it with you over the air here today. So happy to have you with us. Let me give you the number to use again. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's toll-free for you right here in North America. 833-288-3986. Again, it's EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. That's the way you leave a comment for us using social media. If you're outside of the country, we've got a number for you too. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Once more, I want to give you that listener comment number. If you have a question or a comment that you want to leave for us, this number is available to you 24/7. And that number is country code 1-205-795-5773. Eager to have you with us. I just want to finish up by telling you a little bit more about the retreat coming up at Malvern, which begins on June the 28th and runs through Sunday till noon on June the 30th. The beautiful theme is Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. We're going to have a great, great roster of speakers for you. Chris McGregor will be addressing us on Friday evening on the mysticism of St. Faustina. I'll be presenting a short talk to you on Friday night, and then I'll be presenting talks on Saturday as well. Father Ken Geraci is back with us, and he's going to be talking about Divine Mercy and spiritual warfare. Susan Potvin, who is the leader of Living Praise worship team, is going to be with us. They will be providing our music, and Susan is going to give us a talk on praise and the importance of praise, especially as it pertains to our life of prayer and its importance also with regard to spiritual warfare. So I can tell you it's going to be a very, very packed time. The Crucible of New Life, you know, I'm hopefully going to be taking us deeply into the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ to find out how is it then that this becomes for us a font of mercy, most definitely, but also a place of healing and restoration. So lots of wonderful talks are going to be given, and I can assure you of one thing. It is going to be a powerful weekend. We'd love for you to join us for the enrichment seminar and the retreat. If you can only make one or the other, quite well understand that. But let me assure you of something. No matter which of the two you come to, or if you come to both of them together, you're going to leave with something that you didn't arrive with. And that's going to be a greater, greater understanding of your life in Jesus Christ, a greater appreciation for the divine life that God wants to work in you and through you, and the way in which He really wants to use you as His presence in the world today. So please do join us for these opportunities as they come up and as they are presented to you. This one, of course, beginning with the Benedicta on June 27th, the retreat beginning on the evening of June the 28th, and that running through until Sunday, June 30th, right around noon. We close with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Mass is available to you all of the days that we're together, as well as the Sacrament of Reconciliation. A healing service is included in the retreat. As I say, they're always very, very powerful. Well, Sue, welcome, welcome. How are you?
Oh, I am here, and I'm very happy to be here on this wacky Wednesday. And everything you're saying about that retreat is so true, Jeanette. And I just want to add one thing. It's also fun. The retreat is fun.
We have a good time.
These women. You know what happens when you get all those women together in one place? We end up having a ball. I mean, we listen to some very serious talks, and we are deeply moved by these talks over there. They're spiritually very enriching.
Yes, they are.
You would never want to miss a single one of them. But it's done in such a way, it's casual and it's relaxed. And you really, I think, are much more open to the Holy Spirit because of that. Because we are so relaxed. We are in a good mood. We're happy. We're having fun. Our lunches and our breakfasts and dinners and that, there's just a lot of lively talk going on at the tables. It's just that aspect of it, I think, is very important too. How the women just all come together. We just have fun. We just have a good time.
We do. And, you know, as I've been sharing with people through the course of this week, there's a sacred sisterhood that really happens there. You know, these women meet other like-minded women. Very, very beautiful friendships are formed. For a lot of the ladies that have been coming over time, they get to meet up again with some of the ladies that they've met in the past. And it's always a time of lovely reunion. And there's just a spirit of hospitality, cordiality. And again, this beautiful sacred sisterhood, there's no stranger, right? So if you feel like, right, well, I don't think I can come, should I come alone? I don't know. I'd feel funny. Don't feel funny. You will be welcomed. You will be cordially incorporated into this beautiful group of ladies. And we're always having new women. I think last year, Sue, when I asked for a show of hands, I think that we had more new women than we did returners, although we had a good number of returners as well. It might have been rather evenly split, but it was a great opportunity. So as Sue is suggesting to you, you know, don't deprive yourself. It meets every, you know, aspect of what it is that we look for in terms of an event like this. So please do join us for it. Well, Sue, you know, we've got some calls that are coming in, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I want to invite you to hold for us. We're going to get to you very, very shortly. But you got an interesting letter. And this letter is of great interest because of the fact that here was someone not of the Catholic faith, but reaching out to the Catholic faith to help to resolve a situation and a circumstance that was going on in their home that was rather frightening. So share with us about this.
Yeah, I love this letter because we get a lot like this, Johnette. A lot of letters about people who are having demonic infestations in their home. And they don't know what to do about it. Now, this person is actually the friend of the person who's having these problems. And they are a non-church-going Protestants. They haven't been to church. And there's three young children living in the home. Not young. They're young adults. And they have started to see things like shadows and hear doors opening and closing. And the one boy was hearing voices at night that were so loud that he actually started to wear headphones to bed at night to drown them out. Mm. And I guess the mother mentioned this to the writer of the letter to us. And she, of course, tried to reach out to her right away. She said taught her some prayers that she should say, gave her holy water, told her to place holy blessed items in each room of the house. She even went out and bought them St. Benedict medals and that sort of thing. And she was wise enough to bring pamphlets along with the St. Benedict medals so that one of the boys was very interested in it, wanted to read the pamphlet himself. The other boy, the one who was wearing the headphones at night, was so interested in that medal that he immediately put it on. Mm-hmm. And he said that it kind of went away for a little while, but then all the noises came back. Even though he had a crucifix hanging over his bed and you put the holy water around the house, it just keeps coming back. So the friend has said, look, I've tried to convince her to get her and her children to church. They've got to do something about this. They've got to go back to church. It can't be just a temporary fix. And she's afraid of that. And she's afraid of, hey, I gave her all of these blessed objects, these sacramentals, but are they using them as talismans? As good luck charms, rather than, you know, having faith in the person whose blessing is making those sacramentals so efficacious. So she said, what suggestions do you have for that? First of all, somebody did something in that house that has to do with the occult that gave those entities permission to be there. And they're not going to leave until that permission is withdrawn. So whoever is in that house is going and who has any involvement at all in the occult would have to repent, renounce, and reject anything that they've done. They have to do that. The three R's: repent, renounce, reject. Just make up the prayer themselves. It doesn't have to be anything fancy or formulaic. Just say, Jesus, I repent of having been involved, say, with this Ouija board or playing this game, this demonic video game. I renounce this activity and I reject it. And I asked for your forgiveness. That's all you have to say. If you've had any activity with the occult in your life, say that. Repent, renounce, reject. And that closes the door. You gave the devil permission when you reached for those things. Now you have to withdraw that. And these demons are not going to leave that house until that happens. Now, I strongly recommended that the house be blessed by a priest, and preferably a priest who's familiar with occult activity, and suggested if they don't know any priest like that, obviously they're in a Protestant congregation, that to look around at some of the Catholic churches in the area, if they have a charismatic group, because the charismatic groups very often have priests affiliated with their groups, and they would be more familiar with this sort of thing, and to have a house blessing done. Mm-hmm. But, and I tell her this really with sadness in my heart, all the blessings in the world aren't going to change things unless the people within the home, as I said, give up those practices. They should also destroy anything connected with the occult, any book, pamphlet, DVD, jewelry, trinkets, anything. Just get it out of the house. Don't resort to pagan rituals. All the saging in the world is not going to get a demon out of the house. He's going to sit there and laugh at you. It has no impact on him at all.
In fact, bring in some of his friends.
Right. The only thing the devil has admitted to being powerful enough to rid him is holy water. So mm-hmm. why don't you use the holy water, like what he tells you? He's afraid of that. He doesn't want that. But so many exorcists have said that people come to them with these kind of requests. You know, how do I help them? What can I say to them? He said that the people involved often are looking at the exorcist like he's a magician.
Right.
He's just going to quickly, you know, wave a magic wand and everything's going to go away. And that's not how it works. He may leave. The devil might leave for a time being. But if you're still doing these activities, if you're still not really under the protection of God, he's just going to come back and he's going to bring a bunch of friends with him. So you're going to be in worse shape than you were before. So you need to take your faith seriously. If you have something like this going on in your house, the only power that's going to be able to rid you of that is Jesus Christ. And you need to start taking Jesus seriously in whatever way that might be, in your Protestant faith or wherever. You need to start taking Jesus very seriously. And as I said, repent, renounce, and reject any occult activity at all.
Yeah. And I guess, so, you know, the fact of the matter is, if a child's reached the age of reason with the three R's there, the repenting, rejecting, and renouncing, it seems to me that that child would have to do that too. And then the parents would have to surveil and make certain that the child doesn't get back involved with these things. So, you know, and I'm so pleased that you said that this isn't a quick fix. I think we have a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to exorcism. We think it's a one and a done kind of a thing, but it isn't. And it can take a long time. As a matter of fact, you know, in some cases, exorcists are working with individuals for years because they've compromised themselves so much. And it's not just one demon that has to be exorcised. It's several demons. It's a pack of demons. We remember what it says in sacred scripture, you know, well, how many of you are there? And it's like, we are legion, right? Which means that, you know, there's just a lot of them, like hundreds of them, hundreds, maybe even thousands of them. So that's not to say that we find all of that in every exorcism, but we do know of cases where it's taken quite some time. And there does have to be this conversion of life. So this is the way. Listen, if we walk the narrow way, you know, if we walk that narrow road that leads to eternal life, as opposed to the very broad road, the big old wide fat road that leads to perdition, we're not going to find ourselves in these kinds of spiritual problems for the most part. They can still, there is harassment and there's other kinds of things, but we're not going to get to the point here where, you know, we've got this kind of an infestation or this kind of a compromise, you know, in our own being. So the best, you know, the best defense is the best offense is a good defense. So we live, you know, in a defensive manner, which means that we live according to the law of God, not out of fear, hopefully out of love. But if we've veered off that path and we've found ourselves on this very broad road and we've gotten involved in these kinds of things, any aspect of the New Age movement, well, we have invited spirits in. Are they always operative? Not mm-hmm. necessarily. Do they always take advantage of the opportunity? Not necessarily. But the fact of the matter is, it requires this conversion of life, you know, and to kind of patch it up and to, you know, welcome the life of God into the reality of who we are, but into our daily life as well, and to move forward. Because as you say, this is not magic. This is the real deal stuff. This isn't something that, you know, you just, you know, get rid of with pixie dust. It doesn't work like
exactly.
That.
So, exactly. And people wonder, they say, well, how did he get in? I don't understand. I'm not doing anything in the occult. Well, there's different ways that the demon can get into your life like that. First of all, if you are a Catholic and you've ceased the sacraments and prayer, that's a problem right there. There's sin. Sin is a way that opens the door to him. Yeah. Also, religious syncretism, which is becoming very, very common these days, bringing into Catholicism different things like different pagan rituals, cultural superstitions, as if they could exist together. You never want to do that. You don't want to mix pagan practices with the faith, you know, Christian yoga, so to speak, and meditation techniques that are based in Eastern religions, such as centering prayer, mindfulness meditation. You've got to resist doing stuff like that. And of course, irregular marriages, cohabitation, addictions to drugs, alcohol, pornography, occult games, music, literature, media, these can all open the door to him. Unhealed wounds from unrepented sin, you know, serial abortions, serial marital infidelity, occult practices, as I said, physical and emotional abuse in the home. These are all ways that you can open the door to demonic influences in your life. And the only way to stop that is that, as you said, Johnette, you've got to get back to God. You've got to take your spiritual life seriously. And I don't mean just to be spiritual and not religious. You need to be religious. You need to get religion. And that religion is that of Jesus Christ.
That's right. And what does religion mean anyway? It's practicing a faith, right? It's practicing the faith. So you can't be spiritual and religious at the same time. Let me just say, you can't be spiritual outside of religion. Spirituality and religion go hand in glove. Well, listen, phone lines are lighting up. When we come back, we're going to take your calls, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're coming right back. Stay with us. It's a wacky and wild and weird Wednesday here on Women of Grace.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you what's going on with me today? That's a good question. 833-288-EWTN is the number to use to join us here today. That's 833-288-3986. It's toll free for you right here in North America. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there to put in your question or comment. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. Charles Beery is going to be doing the grabbing of your comments, and we are going to have Matthew Gubensky answering the phones today. Rich Jesse is in studio on the campus of EWTN along with Pedro Quillez, and he is with us too today, as well as all of the good guys at TOC. But we're pleased to death that you're with us. Yes, and Sue Brinkman is with us as well. Phone lines are lighting up. Sue, are you ready to go to them? I think she is. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, I'm there ready. She is. Marie is in Wisconsin today, and Marie is listening to us via Sirius XM station 130. Welcome, Marie. I'm glad to have you with us. Marie, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Marie.
Hi.
Hi. Now, Marie, if you turn your radio off, we're going to be able to hear you. We're getting feedback from your radio.
The car?
Yes.
Is it okay?
I would turn the radio off because you're listening to us through your phone.
Yeah,
so we're hearing your radio.
My radio is off on my car, and I'm talking to you on my phone. I don't know how else to.
It's much better now. It's much better now. Good.
I
I'm glad.
My phone.
Okay. All right.
My
I'm glad. I'm glad you're with us today. So what is your question for Sue?
My question is, my sister-in-law told me that her sister has been seeing dead people for a number of years, even when she was a child. That's one. And the other thing that is, my sister-in-law herself will not look into mirrors. She's afraid of mirrors. So I will click off and listen to your answer on the radio. I don't know how to understand that. So, I just been praying for them, and I said, why don't you go to a priest and be blessed? I don't know what else to say.
Are they Catholic, Marie?
My sister-in-law is, but her sister, I don't believe is.
Okay. All right, very good. Okay, Sue, that's a it's an excellent question, Marie, and I'm glad you called in with it today. Let's see what we can do for you.
Yeah, the first of all, we'll just take the sister who is seeing the dead people. Now, that could be a very serious problem because they very likely could be demonic entities. That would have to be, I think, discussed with a priest. And someone familiar with that, I would highly recommend that that be done and be done very soon, because these entities that are appearing are not dead people. Dead people can't appear other than unless they have the express permission of God, and God himself facilitates it. And God is not going to facilitate the appearance of someone except in the case where a soul might be asking for prayer from purgatory. That he might do. But your sister would know that. She would know it because the people generally don't speak. They just appear and they look very sad. And of course, that's to get you to pray for them. You just automatically know he gives you an infusion of knowledge. This person is a soul in purgatory in need of prayer. I'm not sure, Marie, if that's really what's going on with your sister who is seeing the dead people, but that's a very serious problem if they are seeing actual manifestations with their eyes. That is very demonic. It's easy for the devil to do. That's a cakewalk for him. And because she's been open to it, it's been happening all her life, she's more than likely open to it. She's maybe buying into that whole thought process that, oh, this is a special gift. I'm able to see this. You know, it's not a gift. It's a curse. And she would need to, and I don't mean a curse as a curse, but I mean in a bad thing. And she needs to take care of that. The sister who is afraid of mirrors, there's got to be a reason why she's afraid of mirrors. Perhaps she saw something or she watched a movie and it made her be afraid of mirrors. I mean, how many ghost movies have you seen where the person's standing in the bathroom and they see the ghost in the mirror? I mean, that's kind of a normal type of thing. I think that her being afraid of that, any fear of that kind of thing is really just an influence from the dark side. And you just need to place all your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ to protect you. And you don't have anything to worry about mirrors.
Yeah. And I think, Sue, you're absolutely right. And I think, Marie, just for reassurance for you, I think that you've advised well here. You know, talk with a priest, you know, go and see him, ask him, you know, to help you with this fear of mirrors. And if the sister-in-law is open to talking with a priest, that would be a good thing too. What has to be determined, I think, Sue, is exactly what you said. Is the sister-in-law, the sister of the sister-in-law, is she a person who finds some satisfaction in this, which is a form of welcoming this kind of activity? Mm-hmm. You know, if she's getting, you know, some kind of a rush or feels a little elitism as a result of it, then she really is an accomplice. She's cooperating. So that's a whole nother area. But if she's troubled by this and doesn't like it and wants to be rid of it and recognizes that there's something about this that is, you know, not of the Lord, if she's understanding that, then she might well be open to some type of guidance and counseling and maybe even deliverance and anything else that might be necessary, like exorcism. So I thank you for that, Marie. As far as the mirrors go, I know that, you know, there were certain religious expressions, especially in pagan religions, where people were afraid of mirrors. They considered mirrors to be something about bringing a soul back, even though it was your own reflection. So, you know, there's a reason why she's afraid of mirrors, and it could be a phobia of some kind. I haven't had enough time to look it up online to see if there's actually a bona fide, you know, psychologically determined fear phobia that's related to mirrors. But that's an interesting thing. Inquiring minds want to know, how do you go through life avoiding mirrors? But all of that being said, Marie, I think that you've advised well, and I thank you for your call today. Thank you so very, very much. Let's get to Mike. Mike is in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Holy Spirit Radio is the way that he's with us. Hey, Mike, we're going to be in your area in the not too distant future.
Hi.
Hi.
It's good to hear from you and to speak with you. I had a question relating to demonic possession. I'm not online. I don't know if Sue's there, if you're not. Is Sue there?
She is, yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Okay. My question relates to, well, first of all, I heard that there's a demon specifically goes after people who are gay and kind of persuades them to do things, that are immoral. A demon that was identified is called Asmodeus. Now, this is kind of a tricky question from my perspective because there's a number of children we've adopted, and some of them have mental illness. And there are times I've wondered if there's anything outside of mental illness that could be impacting them, some sort of demonic activity. And I wondered if either you or Sue had ever heard of anything like that.
Well,
yes.
You go for it, Sue.
Go ahead, John.
You go.
Yeah, absolutely. He does prey upon people who have mental illness. He doesn't necessarily cause it, but he preys upon it. That's one of the wounds that he uses to get into a person's life. So, yes, it's very possible, Mike, that there is some sort of demonic influence going on there. How much of it, I don't know. You would have to go to a psychiatrist for that sort of thing. Whoever is treating this person for mental illness, they would have to go to see that professional, I would think, and talk with them, preferably someone who is Catholic and is able to discern what might be of the mental illness and what might be a form of oppression from a demon who is just leaning on that wound and just, trying to make their life even more miserable, because that's all the devil really wants to do is make you miserable. He never wants to make you happy the way he is in Hollywood movies, stuff like that. That's not what his game plan is. His game plan is to destroy. And he'll use any way that he can, and he comes in through wounds because it's easy. It's an easy place for him to get in. You're weak there. You're not protected there. And so, yeah, people with mental illness can definitely could definitely be tormented by demons.
Yeah, the evil one will exacerbate what the difficulty is already. To your question about homosexuality, we turn to what does the church tell us? Well, obviously the proclivity, the tendency towards same-sex attraction in and of itself is more of an affliction of the soul. It's an abnormality, it's a suffering of the soul. So that in and of itself does not constitute sin. The fact of the matter is that this is something that with great self-control and with the cooperation of the virtue of chastity, an individual can live a very holy life, even though there is a tendency in this area. However, when an individual begins to act out of that tendency and begins to participate in the activities that accompany homosexuality, just like any grave sin, or any sin at all, really, but grave sin in a more pronounced way, they are consorting with the spirit. Saint Ignatius of Loyola looks at the seven capital sins and identifies the spirits that are associated with each one of those. So we have to understand that, there are these entities, these demons that in a hierarchy of demons, really, that have, a territory that governs that particular sin. So when we're talking about the sin of homosexuality, which comes by way of acting out of that tendency, we're talking about inviting All of those demonic realities that are associated with that inn. And there is one that has been identified by name, and you named the name. I'm not going to name it again because I don't want to give him any glory. But that being said, there is one who is most likely the strong man. I mentioned a moment ago about the hierarchy. Just as we have hierarchies of the angelic host before the Lord, we've got hierarchies, you know, that exist within the demonic world as well. Because the demons are what? They're fallen angels. And so the ranking that they had before and the powers that they had by way of that ranking and God's determining factors there go with them. But they're used for evil instead of for good. And so, yes, there would be a demon that would be a strong man with all of the, you know, lesser angels that would fall underneath his jurisdiction. So the one that you named is most likely the strong man. I can't attest to that specifically, but that would be most likely. But, you know, you've got to think about the sins themselves. Each one of those sins that's associated with homosexuality would have a demon that's associated with it. So the proclivity, the tendency, the affliction of the soul, that is same-sex attraction in and of itself, can be the very thing that the Lord uses to lead a person to great holiness of life. You know, I've often said, I think we'll get to heaven and we'll see a lot of individuals up there who, instead of acting out of that tendency, cooperated with grace and were very chaste. Chastity is meant for every state in life. You know, married, celibate, you know, single, all of that is meant for every state in life. And so to the extent that we cooperate with that grace, according to our state in life, you know, we grow in virtue. So I hope that helps you, Mike.
It helps greatly. And I appreciate you explaining the catechism so well. I'm certainly familiar with it, but hearing it explained by you is wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mike. We appreciate your call today. These are very important questions that we're getting today, Sue, so I just want to keep moving forward here. We've got Lauren with us in Oklahoma, listening via Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting. Hey, Lauren, how are you today?
Fine, how are you?
Good, good, good. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, so my question has to do with, I've been watching near-death experiences on YouTube, and they all seem like, no matter, they all come from different walks of life, and they all seem to be going through similar situations on the other side, where it seems like they're in like a heaven-like state, they feel love, and they all go through a life review. And when that's over, they all say that they don't feel judged, met, and they just feel love. So my question is, should I be watching these as like a Catholic? I don't know if these people are being deceived. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
That's an excellent question, Lauren. Excellent question. If you were to go out to our blog at newage.womenofgrace.com and look up near-death experiences on the index, we have numerous articles on NDEs, and they're very complicated. You're right in the fact that there are many stories that are similar about the tunnel, going through a tunnel of toward a light, that they're hearing a roaring sound in their ear. There's certain things about them that are very common in each of the different stories. However, the interpretation of these NDEs can be very New Age. Almost none of them, as you said, have a judgment. At least that's the ones that get reported, don't have a judgment. Even though we know that there are, and people who seriously research this, and we've written about this in some of our blogs, have said that people do have hellish experiences. They do get judged, and they do go someplace that they don't like in some cases. It's just that the ones that you tend to hear about don't have anything Christian in there. They never talk about Jesus Christ. They never say his name. It's just a light. It's a love. They just feel wonderful and that sort of thing. So the New Age has co-opted that whole industry of near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. I have not read any of the popular ones that are out there, the most well-read ones. You know, Dr. Moody's Raymond Moody's book, Life After Life, and that they're just riddled with New Age beliefs. And the authors themselves say that they believe they are New Agers and they believe in those types of things. Kenneth Ring, he was another pioneer, Life at Death, a scientific investigation of near-death experiences. Well, he's a trained psychologist. Unfortunately, he also doesn't have any particular religious persuasion. And he spews all kinds of typical New Age talking points, like, you know, the light is actually a reflection of your own divine nature. It symbolizes your higher self. So you have to be really careful with NDEs. I personally, Lauren, I find them very interesting. And I always will read them and look at them, waiting for one of them to be really, you know, just put forth all the facts. Don't give me your spin on it, because the spin on it tends to be very, very New Age. You got to be really careful with the way that they're presented. I do suggest that you go to our website, because we do have a lot of information on NDEs. It sounds like you're interested in it, as I am too. So it'll be interesting reading for you.
Yeah. And I do want to say that, you know, years ago, Mother Angelica had a priest on who had a tremendous conversion experience. I think he later became a priest. But as a result of this, where he really was being judged, I do want to comment on one thing. When you say that, you know, they just feel a lot of love. Well, you know, we read in sacred scripture that God is love. So it wouldn't be unusual for somebody to feel a lot of love. You know, I think, you know, we even have theologians who tell us that the condemnation of a soul to hell, you know, is emanates from the love of God rather than that soul no longer, you know, existing. So, we don't understand the mind of God, but what we do know about God is that he is love. So for someone to say, well, I felt a lot of love. And the other thing that occurs to me, we really, you know, don't understand all of this. And, it may well be that a soul that is destined to come back does not experience that moment of seeing Jesus and going through that final judgment, or even the life in review, which I think is realistic. I think that is what happens. I think that you see everything. And there are also people, and I know a couple of people who actually did die, you know, and the paddles were used and brought them back to life, and they felt nothing. And I think that saw nothing. And I think that the reason for that is because, you know, in God's determination was that they were not going that distance. So, you know, I don't think it's sinful to have a fascination with it, to be excited about it. But I would say, well, you know, what's stimulating that, you know, is it, you know, what is causing that fascination? Is it because you want to know more about the ways of the Lord, you know, or is it, you know, just, I don't know. And there's a lot of things like that I too find interesting, you know, but I think, you know, if it's causing us to fall into the traps that you were outlining, Sue, then we don't want to find ourselves falling way and becoming a victim to the New Age interpretation of these things.
Right.
So that was really,
and
good.
And that love has a name. And
yes.
His name is God.
That's exactly
and
right.
They tend to not want to say that name. Oh, I just felt all this love. But the love was not identified as God. And you know that, you know, in scripture, Jesus says, you know, go out and proclaim me to everyone. He would proclaim himself. But like you said, they haven't quite seen him yet. And that's what, there was a tremendous story about Father Stephen Shire. He was a priest from Kansas, and he suffered that broken neck during a head-on collision. This was back in 85.
I think that might be, did this happen years and years ago?
Yes. Yeah, in 1985 it happened.
That's probably the priest that was on Mother's Show.
Okay, yeah, and the Lord gave him a second chance. He actually heard Our Lady pleading for him.
Mm-hmm.
That he actually was standing in front of the Lord and remembered being judged worthy of hell. Yeah. And said that he heard the voice of Our Lady pleading for it, and the Lord relented and gave him a second chance. So that can happen too. But what some of the Catholic, like the Irish Redemptorist priest, wrote about that, and they said that he probably wasn't dead yet. He didn't die yet. He came before Jesus, and Jesus gave him a second chance. He didn't actually die.
Well, so
the church itself doesn't have a teaching on it.
Yeah, well, let me just say this too, and that's entirely possible because the fact, you know, when does death occur according to theology? When the soul separates from the body. So it's not necessarily timed to the moment that the heart ceases to function. That's correct. And of itself is a physical death. But the church says not until the soul separates the body, which is why a priest can come in and bless, you know, that person up to a certain period of time. I think they can administer the last rites up to a certain period of time. And then the church says after that time, that's probably, you know, it's an estimation, but that's probably a good period of time. So, yeah, I like that. Well, here we are, and I'm sorry, Jody, I'm sorry, Linda, that we weren't able to get to you. But, Linda, don't go buying tarot cards for everybody in your family because tarot cards are no good. And I don't know about an eyeball around the neck, but you know what, Jody? I'm going to talk to Sue. She'll tell me, and I will tell you tomorrow. So tune in tomorrow as we come together again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to use these airwaves for his honor and glory. Sue, thanks so very much. You do such a great job for all of us with all of your good research. Womenofgrace.com is where you go to get to that blog. Check it out. God bless y'all. Bye.